بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا وقائد مسيرتنا، العبد المؤيد والرسول المسدد، المصطفى الأمجد، حبيب إله العالمين، أبي القاسم محمد، اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. My dear brothers and sisters, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. According to our traditions, we usually commemorate the Al-Abbas alayhi salam, the brother of Imam al-Hussein, on the seventh night of Ashura. The seventh night of Ashura is dedicated to this great martyr of Karbala, the half-brother of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And I believe that the status of this great leader, this great martyr of Karbala, may even require more than one night just to shed some light on the legacy of this great man. But I would like to be consistent, and therefore I will speak tonight about the personality of this leader and the lessons we can draw from his life. There are two great testimonies by two of our imams. The fourth imam and the sixth imam. The fourth imam, al-imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam, says in his testimony on al-Abbas alayhi salam, he says, رحم الله عمي al-Abbas لقد آثر وواسى أخاه بنفسه. May Allah bless the soul of my great uncle Abbas. He shared his brother Hussein alayhi salam in his sacrifice. حتى قطعت يمينه, till his right hand was cut. فأبدله الله بهما جناحين يطير بهما مع الملائكة. Actually, both his hands were cut. And Allah replaced his hand with two wings that with them, with which he flies in heaven with angels. وَأَنَّ لِعَمِّي الْعَبَّاسِ دَرَجَةٌ يَغْبِطُهَا بِهَا جَمِيعُ الشُّهَدَاءِ. My uncle Abbas has a very great status that all the martyrs would be envious of him. And then we have another testimony by Al-Imam As-Sadiq alayhi salam, and I would like to give me your serious attention because I would like to reflect on this statement made by Al-Imam As-Sadiq. And we have to understand that Al-Imam As-Sadiq, when he says something, he means it. He is an infallible Imam. He does not exaggerate. What he says, it is nothing but the precise truth. So when he says something about Al-Abbas, we should not have any doubt that the Imam is speaking about the mere truth surrounding this man, Al-Abbas. He says, كَانَ عَمُّنَ الْعَبَّاسِ نَافِذَ الْبَصِيرَةِ. My uncle Abbas had a very sharp vision. صلب الإيمان, with strong faith. جاهد مع أبي عبد الله. He did jihad with Abu Abdullah, which is Imam Hussein عليه السلام. وأبلى بلاء حسنا. He did his best. ومضى شهيدا, till he was martyred. Now I would like to reflect on those words, on this testimony by Imam الصادق, where he says, كان عمي العباس نافذ البصيرة. He had strong vision, strong insight. What does he mean by this word? He had strong vision, or strong, or sharp insight. We must understand the psyche of the Arab society at the time of Imam Hussein and even before that. We have to understand that the majority of Arab people at the time of Imam Hussein, their ultimate allegiance was to their tribe, was to their tribal ties, more than anything else. And as a matter of fact, the Arab society was formed of certain tribes. And those tribes make the fabric of the Arab society. Since there was no civil government in the Arabian Peninsula for centuries, the tribe replaced the role of the government in the society. Therefore, in order to survive, a member of the tribe must adhere to those strict rules set by the tribe. Otherwise, you can't survive if you have no tribe. Therefore, you pay allegiance to your tribe, and the tribe would defend you. They take the responsibility of defending its members. And unfortunately, this feeling was so keen and so strong that even when the Prophet ﷺ appeared and he struggled for 23 years to eradicate this feeling and replace it to the allegiance to the faith rather than to tribe, there wasn't so much success. And unfortunately, as soon as the Prophet died, people went back to their former types of allegiance. They went back to the tribe ties. And what was even making the situation worse, what was feeding into those tribal feelings, certain political parties, among them the Umayyad dynasty. The Umayyad dynasty was so arrogant and so racist, and they always promoted the concept of Arabic superiority. They thought and they believed that Arabs are superior over all other races. And during their era, all other races, Persians, others, were being demonized. And Arabs were the superior race and superior people in the Muslim state. Now, when we reflect on what the Imam alayhi salam says on his uncle Al-Abbas, Al-Imam al-Sadiq describes his uncle Al-Abbas by two qualities. One, he was nafidh al-basira. He had very sharp vision. What does he mean by this sharp vision? Before I go to the second quality, sulb al-iman, strong faith, I need to explain this. Sharp vision. People vary in their level of faith. Even now, you face some people who are strictly adherent to the faith, 100%. Which are very few, very few. And then you go and you find people who are 70% adherent, 50%, 60%. You can tell to what extent a person is so faithful through their actions, through their behavior. We all claim to be mu'mineen and believers. But throughout certain tests, when it comes to my own desires, when it comes to my own hidden desires, we usually judge people by their public appearance. But God knows what people do between themselves and God. Only God knows. And one hadith, astonishing hadith, says, لَوْ تَكَاشَفْتُمْ لَمَا تَدَافَنْتُمْ. If people know each other's secrets, they don't bury each other. It is only Allah who knows the secret of people and what they do in privacy. It is only Allah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been always merciful to His people. No matter how deviant they become, no matter how sinful they are, Allah always covers their mischief. And there is a hadith that the person makes a sin and Allah covers up for him. And he does it again and Allah covers up again for him. And he does it again and Allah covers up for him till 40 times. So you must understand that when it comes to the point when Allah exposes someone, Allah does not expose someone from the first moment. Someone must have been too far now that Allah is no longer patient with him. Usually Allah is patient with His people. Anyways, my point is people vary in their level of faith. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests people to show them before anybody else how faithful they are. We always speak about faith, we are mu'mineen. A tragedy takes place, and then I may fail in demonstrating my faith by saying, why Allah is doing this to me? Or Allah tests me by offering me positions, celebrity, fame, wealth. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows me how faithful I am. People always vary in their level of faith. Al-Abbas maintained the highest level of faith. Nafidh al-Basira. He was so visionary that he never doubted the direction he was taking. Not at all. He doubted for a moment where he was going. He knew he was going to be killed in Karbala. He knew that. And he knew that he's making this big risk. He's 34 years old. He's young. He's so handsome. Life is full of hopes for him. He can have such beautiful life. He has a young wife. He has 3 or 2 kids. He has his own livelihood. What does make him to leave and to abandon everything and come with Imam Hussein alayhi salam to Karbala? Imam Hussein was his leader. He did not come to Karbala because of the tribal ties I just mentioned now. He didn't come because Imam Hussein was his brother, his blood brother. He came to Karbala to support Imam Hussein because he believed in Imam Hussein. He truly believed that Imam Hussein is the infallible Imam that he must follow, with no doubt. That's what I mean by he had the highest level of faith. Let me give you an example. The Prophet of Allah, the Holy Prophet, was in his mosque one day. When a man, a Bedouin, came to him, claiming that the Prophet purchased a camel from him yesterday and did not pay the price of the camel. The Prophet says, yes, I did pay you. He says, no, you didn't. Apparently, the man forgot that the Prophet paid him. He insisted that the Prophet didn't pay him. And the Prophet is insisting that he did pay him the price of the camel. Now, this happened before the Muslims watching. There are many Muslims in the mosque watching this conversation that took place between the Prophet and this Bedouin. The man says that I sold you a camel, you didn't pay me. The Prophet says, I did pay you. Now, forget about the Prophet. If this happens to me or to you, that I claim something, I must offer proof. And the proof is 2 witnesses. So let's say, if you say to me, you take me to the judge, In the Islamic judiciary system, if you take a plaintiff to the court and you say that I sold this man a car, he did not pay me, and you admit that you took the car, but you claim that you did pay him, the court would ask you for two witnesses. For two witnesses. If you have two witnesses who witness for you that you did pay, otherwise you have to pay the price. Now, does this apply to the Prophet? Does this rule apply to the Prophet? Let's use our common sense. This applies to normal citizens who could be subject to error. But the man who is honest, and Quran testifies for his honesty, and Quran says whatever he says, this man, the Prophet, is wahi, revelation. وَمَا يَنْطُقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ. Whatever the Prophet says is nothing but the truth, and he does not speak by his own, it is all revelation, and he does not speak by from any desire. This does not apply to the Prophet. So the Prophet turns to people and he says, which one of you would testify for me that I paid this man, this Bedouin, his money? I paid him the price of the camel. All people kept silent. None of them stood up to say, I do. None of them. They all remained silent. Now one person stood up and he says, Ana ya Rasulullah, I testify for you. The Prophet says, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa sallam. The Prophet says to this man whose name was Khuzaymah ibn Thabit, one of the most prominent companions to the Prophet. The Prophet says, Khuzaymah, you were not there when I purchased this camel. You were not there. How do you testify for me? Khuzaymah gives a very astonishing, beautiful answer. He says, Ya Rasulullah, لَقَدْ صَدَّقْنَاكَ عَلَىٰ خَبَرِ السَّمَاءِ وَعَلَىٰ الْجَنَّةِ وَالنَّارِ أَفَلَا نُصَدِّقُكَ عَلَىٰ ثَمَنِ بَعِيرٍ. Ya Rasulullah, it's true that I was not there yesterday when you purchased the camel to see if you, whether or not you paid this man his money. But I make a common sense. I have common sense. We believed in you when you told us that there is hell and heaven, when you told us that Jibreel is descended on you and he reveals the Quran to you, and we believed in you when you took us to the war and we fought with you and we shed our blood because of what you told us. We don't believe in you if you tell us that you paid the price of a camel? I have profound faith in you, Ya Rasulullah. I have a blind trust in you that no matter what you say, of course I accept it. You're the messenger of Allah. Would I dispute with you over the price of a camel? I envision in you an infallible leader that never makes a mistake. Therefore, I follow you. If I have 1% doubt that you pay the price of the camel, I would not follow you. Why I would follow you? I follow you because I know you are the Prophet of Allah. And once I know that you are the Prophet of Allah, I would not doubt any act by you. You are the messenger of Allah. I believe in whatever you tell me. I have verified and authenticized your prophethood. Would I doubt over the price of a camel? You paid it or not? This doesn't make sense. The Prophet smiles and he says, Anta du shahadatayn. Your testimony equals two people. Ya Khuzaymah. God bless you, Khuzaimah. You're the man. Now, there were many people in the room. Why none of them made that judgment that Khuzaimah did? Because people vary in faith. Not all of them had the faith of Khuzaimah. Khuzaimah maintained the highest level of faith, that he was blindly trusting the Prophet. Someone would say, blindly? Are we required to follow the Prophet blindly? Of course, we do. We do follow certain people blindly. When you take the flight from Detroit to Frankfurt, you follow the pilot blindly. You go and you take your seat and you sit in the flight, in the airplane. You don't go and tell him, listen, I am with you only if you fly with 400 miles per hour. But if you go faster, please let me know, I get off the airplane. Or if you fly too high, I can't take it. Only if you fly on the height of 17,000, but if you go higher, I can't take it. He will say to you, please get off the airplane now. Don't bother me. If you don't trust me, if you don't trust my credentials, if you don't trust my expertise, I don't want to see you on the airplane. If you trust me and my expertise, then you would be boarded. Otherwise, I don't want to see you. We trust people when we are certain of their credentials in their field. When we are certain, 100% positive, that those are the experts in their field. We follow the Prophet blindly because we have verified his prophethood. When he told us he is the Prophet of Allah, he combined that with a miracle. And once I got the miracle, now I have no right to question his authenticity anymore. I follow him blindly, wherever he takes me. And if he takes me to the battlefield and he says to me, kill yourself now, I would do, if I am a faithful. Al-Abbas came with his brother, Al-Imam Al-Hussein. He says, Al-Abbas says, you all remember this story, when he entered the river and he came back, they cut his hand, and I'm going to go back to that soon. When they cut his hand, he says, wallahi in qata'tumu yamini inni uhami abadan an dini. If you people cut my hand, I will always defend my faith. وَعَنْ إِمَامٍ صَادِقِ الْيَقِينِ I will continue to follow this man, not because he is my brother, but because he is my leader, because he is my imam, because I have no doubt at all in his authenticity, that he is the imam appointed by Allah to lead me and to lead the humanity. I have no doubt. Even if my following to him would take me to shed my blood, or lose my two hands, or anything happens to me, I will take that, because I know whom I am following. I am following the Imam. I am not following my blood. I am not following my tribal ties. I am following my conscience. I am following my faith. I am following my Lord. كَانَ عَمِّيَ الْعَبَّاسِ نَافِذَ الْبَصِيرَةِ صلب الإيمان. He was so strong in his faith. So strong that the eve of Ashura, the eve of Ashura, the night Imam Hussein alayhi salam preceded his martyrdom, the commander of the Umayyad army, he comes to the tent of Abbas and he says, I want to talk to you. We would like to have some negotiation with you. Imam alayhi salam says, no, I'm not going to have anything to do with that. He refused to speak to him. It was Imam Hussein who interfered, and he says to his brother, go and see what he wants. Our moral, our ethics require that you would not turn anybody down. If someone wants to speak to you, go and speak to him. Imam Al-Abbas alayhi salam says, I don't want to have anything to do with those hypocrites. I don't want to talk to him. But out of respect to his brother, Imam Hussein, he went. to find out that the man is offering him amnesty. He says to him, the leader of the army, he says, why are you killing yourself with your brother? I had obtained amnesty from Ibn Ziyad for you, so you leave, Hussein. Why you kill yourself? And he hands him the letter, the document, in which Ibn Ziyad states that he had given Abbas amnesty if he leaves his brother Hussein. Abbas takes the letter and he tears it up. And then he says, لعنك الله ولعن الله أمانك. May God curse you and your leader, Ibn Ziyad. You give me amnesty. You give me pardon. While the son of Rasulullah has no amnesty. أتؤمنني وابن رسول الله لا أمان له. Do you think I'm that foolish that I will take this and I leave the son of Rasulullah alone? I will let him down? Go away from my face. Get away from here. I don't want to see you. I don't want to talk to you. Don't try this with me at all. You got the wrong person. If you think I would sell Imam Hussein that cheap, I'm not following Imam Hussein for any spoils, any booties. I'm following Imam Hussein alayhi salam simply because I believe in him and I know he is the Imam appointed by Allah to lead me. That's why I am following him. Everybody was martyred except Abbas. Imam Hussein was generous to offer his own son. And we all know that there is nobody closer to the person's heart than his own son or daughter, his own children. Imam Hussein was the first to offer his son Ali. He offered all the shuhada, one after one, except Abbas. It was so difficult for Imam Hussein to allow Abbas to go. So difficult. Even though Imam Hussein knew that Abbas will finally be killed, but it was such a hard moment for Imam Hussein to give permission to his brother Abbas. That when everybody was killed, Abbas came to Imam Hussein saying, Sayyidi, that's how he usually addresses his brother. He says, Sayyidi, my master, لَقَدْ ضَاقَ صَدْرِي. I'm so depressed after seeing all my brothers, my nephews, my cousins, all our companions were martyred. I can't see this anymore. Allow me to fight, please. لَقَدْ ضَاقَ صَدْرِي وَأُرِيدُ أَنْ أَخُذَ بِثَارِي مِنْ هَؤُلَاءِ اللِّئَامِ. I want to teach those people a lesson. Please allow me. Imam Hussein looks at his brother Abbas and he says, أخي إذا مضيت تفرق عسكري. My dear brother, if you go, I think my entire army will collapse. Listen to Imam Hussein. He says, if you go, my entire army will collapse. Imam Hussein has no army. It is only two people now in the army. It is Hussein and his brother Abbas. What Imam Hussein is trying to say is that you are an army by yourself, Abbas. As long as I see you on the ground, my heart is so solid and I am so confident. Your presence here gives me so much comfort, Abbas. But if you go, I have no comfort at all. Abbas insists to fight. Imam Hussein does not give him a permission to fight. But Imam Hussein says to him, if you insist, then I give you permission to bring some water to those kids. Those kids are impatient. They have been crying all day now. It's been 3 days that they have not drunk any water. If you can go and get some water for them. Abbas goes. And when he gets into the river, I don't want to go in the details. I will leave it to my dear brother, Samahat Sayyid Hussein. I would like to reflect on one or two places. When he enters the river, Al-Imam al-Sadiq says, he describes that final moment of Abbas' life. He says, كان قلب عمي العباس كصالية الجمر من الظما. He says, my uncle's Abbas' heart was like an oven. His heart was boiling out of thirst. That when he enters the river, he stretched his hand spontaneously without even reflection. Because he was so thirsty. I think this has happened to you, to all of you. Where you are so thirsty. By only seeing the water, you just go to the water and you take it without asking to whom this water belongs to. You just take the water because you're so thirsty. This is what happened to Abbas when he entered the river and he wanted to fill the jar. He put his hand in the water. He takes some water. He fills his hand with water. He brings his hand full of water to his mouth, near his mouth. All of a sudden he remembers his brother Hussein. فتذكر عطش أخيه الحسين. He remembered that Imam Hussein, his leader, his mentor, his imam is in the camp now alone and thirsty. He remembered the thirst of Imam Hussein. He threw the water in the river. He didn't drink. And then he said a few words, blaming himself for even thinking to drink before his brother Imam Hussein. قال يا نفس من بعد الحسين هوني وبعده لا كنت أو تكوني هذا الحسين وارد المنون وتشربين بارد المعين تالله ما هذا فعال ديني. My soul, be so cheap after Hussein. You're worth nothing after Hussein. يا نفس من بعد الحسين هوني وبعده لا كنت أو تكوني. I wish you don't even exist after Hussein, my brother. This is Hussein, my brother. He is facing all kind of calamities and tragedies and thirst. And you're thinking to drink and quench your thirst of water? والله ما هذا فعال ديني. This is not something I do at all. I was raised in a way that I respect my imam. I follow my imam. I would never drink before my imam drinks. He threw the water and he comes back when he felt the heat on his hand, when his right hand was cut. He again says, وَاللَّهِ إِنْ قَطَعْتُمُ يَمِينِي إِنِّي أُحَامِي أَبَدًا عَنْ دِينِي. Even if you cut my hand, this is not going to change my stand. I will continue to fight and defend my faith and defend my imam, my leader, Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Again, he doesn't say, I will defend my brother, because he was not defending his brother. He was defending his imam, his hero, his role model, the man who believed that he is his leader and his imam, the man who must follow and not to challenge at all. That's how he viewed his brother. He fell down. When he fell down, Imam Hussein came. Imam Hussein came. It was such a brutal scene for Imam Hussein to see. His brother is now disfigured. He lost his two hands. He lost one of his eyes. The arrow was in his right hand. And the blood was all over his face. That Abbas couldn't see anything. Imam Hussein came with his gentle hand. He was trying to remove the blood from his face and from his eyes. Abbas did not know who this guy is. He didn't recognize because he couldn't see. He thought that this is a man, a soldier of the Umayyad army who came to sever his head. He was ready for that. He asked the man, he says he thought that this is the soldier of the Umayyad army. قَالَ بِاللَّهِ عَلَيْكَ إِلَّا مَا أَمْحَلْتَنِي هُنَيَّ. Please man, just give me 1 minute. Just give me one more minute. He is talking to this man thinking that this is an enemy who came to sever his head. Imam Hussein said, why you need 1 minute? قال حتى يأتي إلي ابن والدي فأقبله ويقبلني وأودعه ويودعني. He says, please give me 1 minute. So I wait for my brother Hussein to come. He would hug me. I would hug him. He would kiss me and I kiss him. Then if you want to sever my head, then that's fine. Imam Hussein says, أخي أبا الفضل أنا أخوك الحسين. I'm your brother Hussein. I am sitting next to your head. السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله وعلى الأرواح التي حلت بفنائك وأناخت برحلك. سلام الله عليك أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار. السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين والسلام على أخيه أبي الفضل العباس ورحمة الله وبركاته.